If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome into the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's great to have you here with us. You can reach us on our website, thegolfnewsnet.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com and twitter.com/golfnewsnet. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RyanBallengee. It's great to have you here with us this week. We have a lot to talk about, and we're really excited to talk about it. First and foremost, we're happy to tell you about our new venture, which is called Golf News Net Radio, interestingly enough. And we started it this weekend in beta mode, and if you're listening over the GNN radio network, we're happy to have you a part of it. Let me tell you a little bit about it and the impetus for the idea. We always love talking golf here at Golf News. Now we talk about it on our website. We talk about it to our wives and our kids who don't seem to want to listen. And we know a lot of people feel the same way about the game. They always kind of have a hankering to talk golf or hear a little bit of golf talk. And so we wanted to create a way where we could facilitate that. So that's what Golf News Net Radio is. And that it started this weekend. And we'll continue to refine it and grow it. And we've got a lot of people who are interested to be a part of it. And we're interested to have a lot of fresh voices a part of it as well. Some that you may have heard of over the course of the years. Either in your listening or that have been on our website. And so we'll give you more details about that as the weeks and months follow. But we're really, really excited to tell you that we've launched. You'll be able to find us on the TuneIn radio app starting next week, which is really, really cool. So you can listen to us on the go. You can also catch us anytime on thegolfnewsnet.com, golfnewsnet.com. Every article has a live player for the Golf News Net radio network, and you'll be able to click in and listen anytime that you want. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the cool thing about Golf News Net Radio, a little bit different, is that we're going to try to be as current as possible in what we share with you. So not necessarily the traditional programming grid where the show is on from 12 to 2, and then the next one's on from 2 to 4, and the next one's on from 4 to 7. Nothing like that anymore. We're kind of in a different era here where we're going to try to do our best to share with you what we've been encountering as we encounter it. So you'll hear that sometimes be raw audio, sometimes raw interviews as we've conducted them for the radio network. And hopefully you'll enjoy that format. But like I said, we'll refine it as we go. We haven't done a podcast in a while, and I felt because of the launch of Golf News Net Radio, that was probably a good idea to do it, to explain it first of all and welcome you all to the network and hopefully encourage you to stick around for the podcasts as well that we'll do every week. We may increase the frequency of the podcasts because of Golf News Net Radio. They may become more than once a week as we get into this. So stay tuned for that, and hopefully you'll like that as well. So we've got a lot to talk about here in the world of golf in the last couple of weeks, and obviously Tiger Woods has dominated the conversation over the past few days with his comeback start at Congressional Country Club, his Quicken Loans National Tournament. And I think a lot was made on the Twitter sphere, on Facebook, and people have commented to me either offhand or in radio interviews over the last week or so. And the big question posed to me was, what are the expectations for Tiger Woods this week? And I think Tiger nailed the expectations. And I think he set them low on purpose on his website, saying, well, I'm a bit rusty. I haven't played in a while. I don't know what to expect. And there's a good reason not to know what to expect. He hasn't played golf and competitively for 110 days. And he had undergone back surgery, however minor you want to classify back surgery among the pantheon of surgeries. Still a back surgery and still a big deal. And it still threatened his career, this back injury did. So for him, getting out to play again was a big deal. And I know that he prefaced everything that he said competitively when he made his announcement last Friday that he was going to play by saying he's going to be rusty. And I think that was his way of saying, I'm doing this for a couple of different reasons, and one of them is to get back into the competitive spirit of things and making to play. I want to play. I want to take on the best in the world. But there were other factors at play here, and I think they have to be considered and respected for the reasons why Tiger played. And he had an uncharacteristic degree of candor about it in his news conference earlier in the week on Tuesday, where he said, look, if this tournament didn't benefit my foundation, then I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing this tournament. Now, does that mean he would have played Greenbrier the next week? Maybe. Does that mean he would have played at all leading into the Open Championship? Also don't know the answer to that one. But I think that that seems like a reasonable suggestion that he could play Greenbrier. That would have been 3 months, 90 days or so after his surgery, which seems like a reasonable window to come back from something like this. That was kind of his aim all along, 3 to 4 months. Or he could have just come back at Hoylake and said, hey, I'm playing, let's go, and see how he did. But we know Woods. We know he wants to get some kind of competition in before he goes and tees it up at a major championship. So I think that would have been ruled out altogether. He probably would have skipped the Open Championship and then waited until the tour came back stateside, made his traditional start at Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone, and then played the PGA Championship at Valhalla. So he would have gotten the one major in and barely would have had a chance to qualify for the playoffs, which he said is a thing that he wants to do. And I think that was a nice thing to say. And I think everybody snickered when he said that because we all know that's not true. So, well, fine. That's okay. But, again, to the point about the tournament benefiting his foundation, obviously that's a factor here. This tournament raises a lot of money in the D.C. area to benefit his foundation. His foundation has a footprint in the D.C. area. It does a lot of good work in this area, so that's important. And then on top of it, you have two big factors. One, the Quicken Loans has come in, become the new title sponsor of this tournament. They signed one this year. I'm sure they signed one with the expectation that Woods would be a part of this in some fashion, even if that meant he only played two rounds and skedaddled for the weekend because he wouldn't qualify for after the cut, fine. But he had to make the start for them. Otherwise, it looks really bad on the first year where it's Tiger's tournament. He doesn't even bother to show, especially if he would have decided to play elsewhere, play at Greenbrier, play somewhere else the next week. Would have been really bad, as they like to say in Washington political speak, the optics would have been bad. And then you have Congressional Country Club, which is a proud club, and they have welcomed this tournament for the better part of 8 years. Obviously, they skipped 10 and 11 to have it at Aronimink so they could host the U.S. Open in 2011. But this club did not want to have this championship back here on a year-to-year basis. And that was a contentious vote to even bring it back on a biannual basis, to have it come back every other year. So there won't be a Quicken Loans National at Congressional Country Club in 2015. It'll be somewhere else, probably in this region, but honestly, we don't know where. And because we don't know where, it creates a degree of doubt about the future of the tournament. So Tiger had to show up here. He had to play this event, and he had to essentially acknowledge and thank the membership for willing to stick around with this event, to help him out, help his foundation out, because to be honest, I know Tiger doesn't want to go play this event just down the street, literally down the street at TPC Avenel, Potomac Farm, whatever you want to call it over the years. It's Potomac Farm now, but whatever you know it is. So, you know, he kind of needed this, and he kind of needed to thank them with an appearance. Now, where he goes from here, I mean, there's talk about RTJ, which has hosted the President's Cup a couple times. There's been talk about Lowe's Island, which is Trump National's club, Trump National Washington that he's bought that's just over the Potomac River. It's a gorgeous course. He's put a lot of money into it. Again, though, you put more eggs in the basket of Donald Trump if you're the PGA Tour. That's probably a dangerous decision. There are some other great local tracks as well. You could go up toward Baltimore, play Baltimore Country Club. Smaller venue, though, probably limited in what you could do in terms of corporate hospitality as well as the sheer number of people you could get there. So that's a question mark. You could go back to Aronimink in Philadelphia. I'm sure they'd be happy to host the tournament, although they're angling to get a PGA Championship in a few years. So that's really the mystery now is where do we go from here for this tournament? We'll find that out in the coming weeks, I imagine. If not, sometime later this summer, we'll have a good sense. So that's one piece of the pie. But Tiger came out, shot, 74 the opening day, and then basically the same thing the next day, 75, and found himself on the wrong side of the cut line, 7 over par. Didn't look all that good from inside 100 yards, but looked pretty good from tee to green. I have to say I was pretty impressed with that. And I have a little theory about that. And the idea here, I think, is that because Woods had such kind of a limitation, he wasn't able to really go after the ball in the way you might suspect he typically would with his powerful swing and how much torque he creates with it. And obviously the back injury, resulting surgery and resulting recuperation require him to swing a little bit differently, can't be as aggressive with it. I think that required him to be a little bit more technically proficient and not so leaning on aggressive that it kind of made him spray the ball a little bit. He was pretty good by Tiger standards off the tee, finding fairways a little bit better than 60%. That's pretty good for him. He was terrible in finding greens, though. He only found 20 of 36 in the first two rounds, which obviously is better than 50%. 18 is the barrier there, so he's around 60% of greens in regulation, but that doesn't really say a whole lot about Tiger's game. We've seen over the years where he plays his best golf when he gets near 70% greens in regulation. And when he missed 16 greens, he only got up and down three times for par. So that left him on the wrong side of par 13 other times, which is a terrible percentage. Now, fortunately for him, he made a lot of birdies, seven over the course of the couple days, and then 12 and a double on the other way. So that kind of rounds up the holes where he didn't do so well getting up and down the 13 of them. But it's good to see that at least he was solid from tee to green. What may be discouraging to Tiger fans is that the only thing that he could really do for the last 2 to 3 months was chip and putt the ball, and he was terrible at it this past weekend at Congressional. So he obviously has a to-do list going home to Jupiter. He's not going to play Greenbrier. He certainly won't play the John Deere Classic. He probably won't play the Scottish Open. So we'll see him next at Hoylake, and we'll get a sense then of where his game is at. But I think he knows what the pressure point is here. It's to find a way to chip and putt and get around, even though he doesn't really have much competitive feel. And I think that's what he means when he says feels. It's not how to feel a golf shot. I mean, he's been chipping and putting. He knows what that's like. But chipping and putting is a little different when the strokes count, when there's a lot of people watching, when the TV camera's on. And yes, that means something different for even a guy who's won nearly 80 times on the PGA Tour. So it creates a really weird situation for Tiger where he knows he's not going to play all that well just because he just hasn't been in this form in 110 days, and he's still trying to take it easy. But he has to put on a good face, and he has to really show that he had every intention of playing this tournament, and that through playing this tournament, he kind of gets back into the swing of things, and this is the launching off point of something maybe pretty good for the remainder of the season, a salvage mission for the remainder of the season. Again, whether or not that's the reality or not really is frankly unimportant at this point, because it's about perception, and the perception is Tiger's back and he's ready to play. Now, whatever we get at Hoylake is probably going to be a lot better than when we saw this past weekend, and I say that because Hoylake's a little bit different. It's a little bit different of a test in Congressional. Now, both require you to be very straight off the tee. The fairways are very narrow, and there's not a lot of wiggle room to miss. At Hoylake, there's in-course out-of-bounds. So if you miss at Hoylake, there's a chance you can cost yourself stroke and distance, which is preposterous, but the truth. So in that sense, Congressional was a really great place for Woods to go. But Congressional's long. Hoylake's not so long. And even though it's not going to be burnt out like it was in 2006, there's still going to be an opportunity for Woods to be able to hit that kind of stinger 3-wood. If he wants to go 2-iron, he can go 2-iron. But he'll be able to move the ball out there and get some good run on it. It won't go massively long like it did when he won his last Open Championship in 06. But it's still going to get some good run out, and that'll leave him with a good position. So the straight ball is really what the mission should be to figure out between now and Hoylake. That's the big thing to figure out. So we'll see how that goes for him as he moves into the first major championship start of 2014. So let's shift our focus to the guys that are actually playing the weekend on the PGA Tour Congressional Country Club in the Quicken Loans National. We got three rounds basically in the books. Top five, Patrick Reed, actually leads the golf tournament right now by 2 strokes over Sung Yul Noh, who shot a 566 today at Congressional, and Freddie Jacobson, who came in with an even par 71 for the second consecutive day. And Mark Leishman's wrapping up. He's going to come in at 4-under for the entire tournament through 54 holes, 2-over on the day, so that'll be 73 for him. This is one of those weird golf tournaments where it depends on the kind of the year what you're going to get in terms of score. We've seen a wide variety of winning scores over the 8 years of this tournament. Obviously, two weren't at Congressional, as we mentioned earlier. But Congressional just kind of seems to be very finicky, and the rain and really wet winter that we had here in the area has promoted a lot of growth in the fair or in the rough areas at most facilities in the Washington, D.C. area, which means the rough is extremely thick. You can grow 2-3 inches and it'd be really as penal as 4-inch rough in a lot of other places in the country. And so that's kind of the net result here, and you haven't seen a lot of guys take it very deep, obviously, because it's just really downright difficult to do, and Congressional has been pinched in. It's a tight golf course as it is, even a little bit tighter this week, so that's certainly an issue. But I'm really impressed to see Patrick Reed coming out and playing well finally, obviously, since he made those top five remarks after Doral It hasn't really been much of a cakewalk for him. In fact, it's been downright terrible for him. But he has had some life changes going on. Obviously, he's gone from a one-time PGA Tour winner last year, a guy who was qualifying Monday qualifying for PGA Tour events with his wife on the bag, to having a kid with his wife this season. Obviously, she's not on the bag anymore. She's a mom. She's not a mom-to-be. So things are a little bit different for the Reed family. But if you take a look at where Reed has been since winning the Cadillac Championship, he hasn't finished better than 35th on the PGA Tour, and that came in the U.S. Open a couple of weeks ago. He missed pretty much every cut except for three at the API at Bay Hill, where he finished T52, missed the cut at the Masters, in New Orleans, the Players, Memphis, Travelers last week, and he hasn't had a round in the 60s, until this week. So that goes a long, long way. And I think there's a big adjustment period for him. Not only being a dad, obviously, that changes your life in so many wonderful ways, but in so many ways you never can even imagine before you're a dad. But also, he's a different guy now. He's a three-time PGA Tour winner. I think he needed to have that mentality shift where he needed to realize he can no longer act like a guy with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, you can. It might take you very far in life. But for Patrick Reed to take his game to the next level, to become a better player, to have a chance to become a major championship winner. I mean, he clearly wasn't a factor in either of the two majors. Really never had a chance at either of them, even though he had a pretty nice week at the U.S. Open. You need to be able to think about yourself a little bit differently. Not the guy that's going to show everyone what they missed out on, but just play your game, be confident in who you are, and believe in it. That's the same thing we've talked about with Michelle Wee. Talked about it at length about Michelle Wee, that the thing that Michelle Wee and Martin Keimer won the U.S. Open have figured out is to believe in yourself, believe in what you're doing, and don't deviate from it. Don't doubt it in the most important moments, and stick with it when it matters the most. And that's what they did perfectly, both of them at Pinehurst number two. Even when they got themselves into trouble, even when they put themselves in a position where it could have blown up in their face, they found a way to get out of it with minimal damage or to turn it into a positive and then build on that positive that they were able to extract from a potentially negative situation. There's a lot of psychology in golf, as you well know if you play the game, and it can change from shot to shot and hole to hole. And the important thing that Michelle Wee and Martin Keimer have figured out and displayed most recently is to string it together, string around together, and build confidence that doesn't wane from shot to shot. And that's the thing Patrick Reed's got to be able to build upon. He's a streaky player, obviously. He goes through spurts where he plays brilliant, brilliant golf, and there are spurts where he plays, as we've just seen, crappy, crappy golf. So for him, he needs to be able to learn how to string together rounds, string together tournaments to create that feeling where he is top five Pat. He's not top five wannabe Pat. And he can do that. He really does have the capability to do it. If he wins tomorrow at Congressional, I think he's going to find himself in a position where he's validated whatever he's just gone through here to figure that out. And Patrick Reed could quickly become a 10-win guy on the PGA Tour. I know that sounds absolutely bonkers, but it's not that crazy to be that far away. I mean, have four PGA Tour wins in less than a calendar year. There aren't too many people in their lifetime on the PGA Tour that could claim to have four wins in a calendar year, much less four wins, period. So Patrick Reed's a special player, and I think we're going to have to look out for him tomorrow and see what he does. Obviously, there are plenty of other capable players underneath him, so you'll know as a winner just this season in New Orleans, so he obviously has the game to be able to get the job done, but I just don't see anybody playing better than Patrick Reed right now out there, and hopefully Oliver Goss is the guy who slid today, the Aussie making a second professional start, does make a nice comeback tomorrow, puts up a round in the 60s, gets himself into that top five, top six position. Would be great for him if he could qualify for the Open Championship through the results of this tournament. There are four spots that are available to the Open Championship field for the players, the highest finishing players that are not already exempt into the Open Championship. This is a great opportunity for that. And I'd love to see Oliver Goss be able to get his professional career off on the right foot. And I mentioned Oliver Goss despite his tough time today because I want to get briefly into a subject we'll get into later on this program, but I want to start to delve on it and maybe hear your thoughts on it. Email me, Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or you can catch me on Twitter @RyanBallingy. But the theory I'm developing here is that it gets a little bit easier these days for guys who are high-end amateurs to come out of school or spend minimal time in school, in the case of Matthew Fitzpatrick, or never any time in college whatsoever, turn pro and have great results, and at least in the short term. I think about Ollie Goss, obviously a co-leader after 36 holes this week, got to the U.S. Amateur Final. Matthew Fitzpatrick, the guy that beat him, spent one semester barely at Northwestern for college before deciding he was going to turn pro and make all of his focus on that. Obviously, he had a nice first week as a professional, earning a paycheck and a pretty solid finish at the Irish Open on the European Tour. You can go back, obviously, to Jordan Spieth, who had 1 year of college. You can look back at Ricky Fowler, Bud Cauley. There are a bunch of guys in recent memory who have come out and been good at the start, really good, enough to get their card good. And I find that fascinating because we've also seen from Ricky the lull down. He obviously won at Charlotte a couple of years ago, but he's now rebuilding his swing with Butch Harmon. We're starting to see the fruit of those results right now because he's one of the two most consistent guys in the major championships this year, and he's doing really wonderful things with his golf swing. You look at Bud Cauley, who obviously got his PGA Tour card back in 2011 and then found himself in a position where he's had to fight for and is just fighting and fighting and fighting right now. He's grinding things out. So what came so easily to him coming out of school is not so easy to him now. And you look at Jordan Spieth, who seems to be more the exception than the rule because he hasn't had to rebound in his second season. In fact, he's gotten himself in a position to contend in the majors at 20 and 21 years old, where that's an incredible accomplishment for a kid who really should not be doing what he's doing right now. It's historic level stuff. And I know he's not putting together wins on the reg, so there's kind of this wait-and-see approach as to whether or not he can win regular PGA Tour events and not just contend in the biggest stages only to stumble at some point. But it seems like he's destined for good things. And even you can go to Rory McIlroy, the extreme case of the young guy who came out and did well once he kind of figured some things out. Obviously, he came out a little bit earlier than the guys that just mentioned that cluster, came out as a teenager on the European Tour, kind of putzed around a little bit, and then started to figure it out. And when he figured it out, came out big, did really well on the PGA Tour, obviously had an explosive season in 2011, won a major the next year by a boatload of shots at Kiawah Island, the PGA Championship. But he's come back to earth a little bit, and what he found so easy isn't so easy now. And he's finally starting to get that back with a win at the BMW PGA Championship. Obviously, has had a lot of other outside things going on in his life that may not be happening in the lives of Ricky Fowler or Oliver Goss or Bud Cauley or Jordan Spieth, for that matter. So he may be the exception to the rule, but you kind of see where I'm going with this conversation. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. Email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or you can catch me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy, or follow Golf News Net on Twitter at Golf News Net, facebook.com/golfnewsnet. That'll do it for this edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. Thanks so much for being a part of it. Please check out Golf News Net Radio on thegolfnewsnet.com or the TuneIn Radio app starting next week. We're really excited about it, and we can't wait to tell you more about the programming we're going to offer on the network 24/7 for you. So please check it out at golfnewsnet.com. Until next week, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.